This is a recording of the ascent of Mount Carmel by Saint John of the Cross. This recording is provided by the Christian Classics Ethereal Library and read by Brother Mark Dextrous of Ventura, California, USA. For more information or to volunteer, please visit us at ccel.org. And now, the Ascent of Mount Carmel. The first book, wherein is described the nature of dark night and how necessary it is to pass through it to divine union. And in particular, this book describes the dark night of sense and desire, and the evils which these work in the soul. Chapter 1 sets down the first stanza, describes two different nights through which spiritual persons pass, according to the two parts of man, the lower and the higher, expounds the stanza which follows. Stanza, the first. On a dark night, kindled in love with yearnings, O happy chance, I went forth without being observed, my house being now at rest. In this first stanza, the soul sings of the happy fortune and chance which it experienced in going forth from all things that are without, and from the desires and imperfections that are in the sensual part of man, because of the disordered state of his reason. For the understanding of this, it must be known that, for a soul to attain to the state of perfection, it has ordinarily first to pass through two principal kinds of night, which spiritual persons call purgations or purifications of the soul. And here we call them nights, for in both of them the soul journeys, as it were, by night in darkness. The first night or purgation is of the sensual part of the soul, which is treated in the present stanza, and will be treated in the first part of this book. And the second is of the spiritual part. Of this speaks the second stanza, which follows, and of this we shall treat likewise in the second and the third part, which respect to the activity of the soul, and in the fourth part, with respect to its passivity. And this first night pertains to beginners, occurring at the time when God begins to bring them into the state of contemplation. In this night, the spirit likewise has a part, as we shall say in due course. And the second night, or purification, pertains to those who are already proficient, occurring at the time when God desires to bring them to the state of union with God. And this latter night is a more obscure and dark and terrible purgation, as we shall say afterwards. Briefly then, the soul means by this stanza that it went forth being led by God for love of Him alone, enkindled in love of Him, upon a dark night, which is the privation and purgation of all its sensual desires with respect to all outward things of the world and to those which were delectable to its flesh, and likewise with respect to the desire of its will. This all comes to pass in this purgation of sense, for which cause the soul says that it went forth while its house was still at rest, which house is its sensual part, the desires being at rest and asleep in it, as it is to them. For there is no going forth from the pains and afflictions of the secret places of the desires until these be mortified and put to sleep. And this, the soul says, was a happy chance for it, namely, it's going forth without being observed, that is, without any desire of its flesh or any other thing being able to hinder it. And likewise, because it went out by night, which signifies the privation of all these things wrought in it by God, which privation was night for it. It was a happy chance that God should lead it into this night, which from there came to it so much good, for of itself the soul would not have succeeded in entering therein, because no man of himself can succeed in voiding himself of all his desires in order to come to God. This is, in brief, the exposition of the stanza, and we shall now have to go through it, line by line, setting down one line after another, and expounding that which pertains to our purpose. The same method is followed in the other stanzas, as I said in the prologue, namely, that each stanza will be set down and expounded, and afterward each line. Chapter 2 explains the nature of this dark night through which the soul says that it has passed on the road to union. On a dark night, we may say that there are three reasons for which this journey made by the soul to union with God is called night. The first has to do with the point from which the soul goes forth, for it has gradually to deprive itself of desire for all the worldly things which it possessed, by denying them to itself. The which denial and deprivation are, as it were, night to all the senses of man. The second reason has to do with the mean, or the road along which the soul must travel to this union, that is, faith, which is likewise as dark as night to the understanding. The third has to do with the point to which it travels, namely, God, who equally is dark night to the soul in this life. These three nights must pass through the soul, or rather, the soul must pass through them, in order that it may come to divine union with God. In the book of the holy Tobias, these three kinds of night were shadowed forth by the three nights, which, as the angel commanded, were to pass ere the youth Tobias should be united with his bride. In the first he commanded him to burn the heart of the fish in the fire, which signifies the heart that is affection to and set upon the things of the world, which in order that one may begin to journey toward God, must be burned and purified from all that is creature in the fire of the love of God. And in this purgation the devil flees away, for he has power over the soul only when it is attached to things corporeal and temporal. On the second night the angel told him that he would be admitted into the company of the holy patriarchs, who are the fathers of the faith. For passing through the first night, which is self-privation of all objects of sense, the soul at once enters into the second night and abides alone in faith, to the exclusion not of charity but of other knowledge acquired by the understanding, as we shall say hereafter, which is a thing that pertains not to sense. On the third night the angel told him that he would obtain a blessing, which is God, who by means of the second night, which is faith, continually communicates himself to the soul in such a secret and intimate manner that he becomes another night to the soul, inasmuch as this said communication is far darker than those others, as we shall say presently. And when this third night is past, which is the complete accomplishment of the communication of God in the Spirit, which is ordinarily wrought in great darkness of the soul, there then follows its union with the Bride, which is the wisdom of God. Even so, the angel said likewise to Tobias, that when the third night was past, he should be united with his Bride in the fear of the Lord. For when this fear of God is perfect, love is perfect. And this comes to pass when the transformation of the soul is wrought through its love. These three parts of the night are all one night, but after the manner of night, it has three parts. For the first part, which is that of sense, is comparable to the beginning of night, to the point at which things begin to fade from sight. And the second part, which is faith, is comparable to midnight, which is total darkness. And the third part is like the close of night, which is God, the which part is now near to the light of day. And that we may understand this the better, we shall treat of each of these reasons separately as we proceed. Chapter 3 speaks of the first cause of this night, which is that of the privation of the desire in all things, and gives the reason for which it is called night. We here describe as night the privation of every kind of pleasure which belongs to the desire. For even as night is not, but the privation of light, and consequently of all objects that can be seen by means of light, whereby the visual faculty remains unoccupied and in darkness, even so likewise the mortification of desire may be called night to the soul. For when the soul is deprived of the pleasure of its desire in all things, it remains, as it were, unoccupied and in darkness. For even as the visual faculty, by means of light, is nourished and fed by objects which can be seen, and which, when the light is quenched, are not seen, even so, by means of the desire, the soul is nourished and fed by all things wherein it can take pleasure according to its faculties. And when this also is quenched, or rather mortified, the soul ceases to feed upon the pleasure of all things, and thus, with respect to its desire, it remains unoccupied and in darkness. Let us take an example from each of the faculties. When the soul deprives its desire of the pleasure of all that can delight the sense of hearing, the soul remains unoccupied and in darkness with respect to this faculty. And when it deprives itself of the pleasure of all that can please the sense of sight, it remains unoccupied and in darkness with respect to this faculty also. And when it deprives itself of the pleasure of all the sweetness of perfumes which can give it pleasure through the sense of smell, it remains equally unoccupied and in darkness according to this faculty. And if it also denies itself the pleasure of all food that can satisfy the palate, the soul likewise remains unoccupied and in darkness. And finally, when the soul mortifies itself with respect to all the delights and pleasures that it can receive from the sense of touch, it remains in the same way unoccupied and in darkness with respect to this faculty. So that the soul that has denied and thrust away from itself the pleasures which come from all these things, and has mortified its desire with respect to them, may be said to be, as it were, in the darkness of night, which is not else than an emptiness within itself of all things. The reason for this is that, as the philosophers say, the soul, as soon as God infuses it into the body, is like a smooth blank board upon which nothing is painted, and save for that which it experiences through the senses, nothing is communicated to it in the course of nature from any other source. And thus, for as long as it is in the body, it is like one who is in a dark prison and who knows nothing save what is able to see through the windows of the said prison. And if he saw nothing through them, he would see nothing in any other way. And thus the soul, save for that which is communicated to it through the senses, which are the windows of its prison, could acquire nothing in the course of nature in any other way. Wherefore, if the soul rejects and denies that which it can receive through the senses, we can quite well say that it remains, as it were, in darkness and empty, since, as it appears from what has been said, no light can enter it in the course of nature by any other means of illumination than those aforementioned. For although it is true that the soul cannot help hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting and touching, this is of no greater import, nor, if the soul denies and rejects the object, is it hindered more than if it saw it or not, heard it or not, etc. Just so a man who desires to shut his eyes will remain in darkness, like the blind man who has not the faculty of sight. And to this purpose, David says these words, Pauper sum ego, et in laboribus indenture mea, which signifies, I am poor and in labors from my youth. He calls himself poor, although it is clear that he was rich, because his will was not set upon riches. And thus, it was as though he were really poor. But if he had not been really poor, and had not been so in his will, he would not have been truly poor. For his soul, as far as its desire was concerned, would have been rich and replete. For that reason, we call this detachment night to the soul. For we are not treating here of the lack of things, since this implies no detachment on the part of the soul, if it has a desire for them. But we are treating of the detachment from them of the taste and desire, for it is this that leaves the soul free and void of them. Although it may have them, it is not the things of this world that either occupy the soul or cause it harm, since they enter it not, but rather the will and the desire for them. For it is these that dwell then within it. This first kind of night, as we shall say hereafter, belongs to the soul according to its sensual part, which is one of the two parts whereof we spoke above, through which the soul must pass in order to attain union with God. Let us now say how meet it is for the soul to go forth from its house into this dark night of sense, in order to travel to union with God.